Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here today. I'm glad I'm here. So, yeah, so okay. Don preached most of my sermon already, so I'm off the hook. No, actually, we're going to talk about, do we have, oh, you got it up there. Thanks, Dan. You know, Dan, if this Dan wasn't here, this place would just blow up. Today, when Don lit the candle, you know, today's Advent is joy. And let me give you a good definition of joy, okay? It's knowing that you are loved by God. Joy comes from knowing you are loved by God, okay? Happiness comes from, you know, getting a new BB gun or, you know, a bonus on your paycheck or whatever it might be. You know, we can be happy, but joy is something you don't get. Normally, right? Joy is when you know you're loved by God. And part of the reason, you know, we celebrate Christmas is because the fact that Jesus came into the world in the first place, whether he ever said any words at all, no matter what he did, that tells you something, correct? That was joy because God did what he said he was going to do. You know, Jesus is like nobody else in the universe. His father is Jehovah, his mother is Mary. Who is this guy? There's nobody like him. Anywhere, ever. There never will be anybody else like him. Amen. You know? I mean, he's just the most amazing person in the universe. Yeah, we love him. He loves us. That's so cool. And so, the whole idea here, you know, about Christmas, and I want to tell you one other thing here. I learned a lot of stuff when I was studying for this. And I hope it makes some sense today. But you know, the reason we're sitting here today is because of Christmas. The reason we have forgiveness of sins is because of Christmas. The reason you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and whatever else, you know, is because of Christmas. I don't care what it is, you know, it's because of Christmas, correct? God gave his son to the world. Don read the scripture out of Isaiah 9. God gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoa, that's what Christmas is all about. God did what he said he was going to do. He made promises. You know, last week, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but last week Michael preached about John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all that. And, like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself. It doesn't matter what I do. Nobody cares. But I want to tell you something, you know. Look at the Word, you know, what does that really mean, right? Well, God expressed himself. When you speak words, you're expressing yourself. How did God express himself? Through his Son, right? And every promise he ever made, all of those promises, all of those predictions, all of those, you know, prophecies, everything that God ever said became a human being. And we call him Jesus. That's what the angel told Mary. Call him Jesus. Because he'll save his people from their sins. You know, the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, it's the Greek transliteration of Yeshua, the Hebrew word for Messiah, or Joshua, if you want to look at it. But it means the salvation of God. That's his, what his name means. So when you say Jesus, you know, when you get down on your knees, oh, Jesus, you're saying salvation of God. Because that's who he is. It's what he is. He's all of the above. There is no plan B. There isn't. There's just Jesus. God put all his eggs into one basket. This is my son. Hear him. And so, you know, I just want to remind you that the reason anything we have, any knowledge of God, any good thing that we have in this world is because of Christmas. God fulfilled everything he ever promised. He fulfilled it when Jesus came into the world. Because at that instant, all of that stuff that was just ink on paper, or it wasn't even paper back then, it was parchment or papyrus or whatever it might have been, but all those things that were just words became flesh. And all those disciples, and we beheld his glory. They just went, oh my gosh, that's you. And even Jesus, that's how he talked about himself. That's why he's so mysterious. You know, he didn't tell us how tall he was or what color eyes he had or anything like that. But when he referred to himself, he always referred to him what the prophet said. This is who I am. I'm the guy in the book, right? And because I'm the one that God said, you know, I'm the Word. I fulfill. Here I am. All the promises of God, they're in me. Isn't that what the Word says? Every promise of God is in Him, and it's always yes. You want a promise from God? Ask Him in Jesus' name. God will say yes. He already said yes. He already gave His Son. You know? Christmas. God did what He said He was going to do. And that's the real celebration we have. You know, back when, in my younger years, you know, when I got saved, I was raised like most American kids, especially back in the, well, I don't know when, you know, how far back it goes. I only know my own situation. But Santa Claus was a big deal. You know, and your little kids, you take them down to, you go down and sit on Santa's lap, and have you been a good little boy? You know, yeah. And, right, and Santa was like this really, this bigger-than-life individual, you know. Well, really, he's just some fake guy in a beard and, you know, and I know. Plug your ears if you don't want to hear the rest of this. Your bubble's going to get popped today. So, you know, anyway, I had this thing about Santa. I wasn't happy with, you know, you start reading the Bible and you find out what Christmas is all about. And it's not about Santa Claus, right? I know. I'm going to get in trouble here because, you know, you got the sweaters on. You got the, but anyway, long story short, and this I'm confessing my faults here too, that I might be healed. So way back when my kids were little and their cousins were little, we used to go out and visit the in-laws in California. And my father-in-law, Jack, had a Santa costume and the bells and everything. You know, he had the whole, he was really into it. And so every year he would dress up and he'd sneak outside and then you'd hear, he'd get the bells going and all the little kids would be, what's that, what's that? And he'd come in and, you know, whoo, whoo, whoo. And he was a big guy and he fit the part. And, you know, and he would play Santa Claus. He'd give them all gifts and the kids were like, wow, man, with Santa Claus came to our house. Well, one year they wanted me to be Santa Claus. Okay, I didn't want to be Santa Claus, and I told him, no, I'm not going to do it. And, oh, come on, you know, and finally they kind of shamed me into it. So I put on the outfit, and I don't look like Santa Claus, right? But I put on the outfit. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm being healed. So anyway, I go outside, you know, and I'm the whole time I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to be Santa Claus, you know. I don't like Santa Claus, you know. Anything that's a substitute for Jesus, I'm not happy with, okay? And so anyway, you know, I jingle the bells and I come in and all the kids are all excited. I walk up to one of my nephews and I go, "Have you been a good little boy?" And one of the my in-laws said, "You're making the kids cry." That's why nobody asked me to be Santa Claus anymore. Yeah, I got out of that job, you know. And I tried to recover, but it just didn't work. So thankfully, I'm not going to be Santa Claus today for you guys. But I do want to know if you've been good or bad, okay? No, I'm kidding. So,
You're doing great.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying. I'm really trying hard. Yeah, there's reasons why God puts you in certain places and not certain places, right? We're going to talk about Christmas today because it's Christmas time. What else are you going to do? But I want to make that point, you know, it's about joy. Joy is knowing you're loved by God. There's no substitute for that. And the fact that Jesus came in the world is proof, you know, and we're going to read this scripture here about Zacharias. It's the next slide, Dan. When John the Baptist from Luke chapter 1, we're going to spend most of our time in Luke, but I got a few scriptures from Isaiah that Don already quoted. Thanks, Don. But when you begin to put the whole thing together, it actually is extremely encouraging. right? And you start having real joy because I know God's not lying. God did what he said he was going to do. He fulfilled every promise he ever made. And the fun part of being a Christian is finding that out. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about going to church. It's not about keeping the rules. It's not about being a good person. It's about finding out how good God is and how he does everything he ever promised is true. And we learn how to pray and we learn how to seek him and we find out that all this stuff he said is actually happens. And it's like, wow, this is really amazing, God. And that's the fun part of being saved. That's what it's all about. Do you get persecuted? Sure. Do your friends make fun of you sometimes? Yeah. Right? Are there things, does it cost you something? Yeah. Right? Stuff happens. But the real joy is knowing you're loved by God, and the fact that Jesus came into the world tells you something. I love you. Here's my son. You know, Hebrews chapter 8, I think it is. Is it chapter 8 or 9? But it says, it is appointed unto every man that once he should die, and after that the judgment. And then it says, so Christ appeared once to take away our sins, and he'll appear the second time to take it all away. What a promise. Yeah. But he came. That's the promise. He fulfilled what he did. When Jesus came into the world, everything we sometimes take for granted, but every day's Christmas with Jesus. Right? Yeah. Just like every day's Easter with Jesus. Right. Did he rise from the dead on Easter? Yeah, he did. Did he rise from the dead today? Yes, he is. Right? Did I rise from the dead with him? Yeah. Every day is Easter. Every day is Christmas. So just when next time you go shopping, tell them that. So this is actually about John the Baptist, but he's saying a little more than just he said in his father, Zacharias. If you know the story, there's a lot of stuff happened around Jesus. You know, And if you were living in that time, it would have been difficult to kind of figure it all out because it all happened, you know, months apart and different things. But obviously, you know, somebody was paying attention. Mary was. You know, most people think that Luke, Mary actually, you know, if you know the Gospels, when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at John and his mom, Mary, and said, you know, behold your son, talking about John, and behold your mother. And it said from that time that disciple took her to live with him. So it appears that Joseph had already died sometime before that. And John took Mary and basically took care of her the rest of her life. Well, John ended up moving to Ephesus some point in time. And Mary lived in Ephesus for a long time. Luke and Paul and those guys actually spent a lot of time in Ephesus. And so Luke spent a lot of time with Mary. And that's why most people think that the birth stuff around Jesus is so complete in Luke because he spent a lot of time with her, which is kind of fascinating to me. But so a lot of these details that aren't in the other Gospels you find in Luke. Anyway, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you know the story, Zacharias was in the temple and he was doing his thing. He was one of the priests and an angel came to him and said, you know, you're going to have a son and he's going to do it. Now, they were old. They weren't way past childbearing years. And Zacharias had a problem. He's like, well, that can't happen. That was sort of his attitude. And God said, okay. Actually, the angel said, but, you know, all right, you're not going to believe it. You're still going to get it. But you can just be, you know, dumb for a while or mute. He was dumb, too. But no, I'm kidding. But, you know, he said, yeah, you're not going to talk for a while because he didn't want him spewing out his unbelief. So for 9 months or so, Zacharias couldn't talk. And then Elizabeth got, you know, pregnant in her old age and this miraculous little baby. And then if you know the rest of the story, and Mary, the angel comes to Mary a few months later and tells her some stuff that you're going to have a son, a special son. A Holy Spirit's going to come over you and all this stuff. And this child you're going to have is going to be called the Son of God, and he's going to save his people from their sins. And she, you know, pretty big thing. I mean, if you picture Mary, you're this young woman, and here comes this angel telling you all this stuff, and you're like, whoa, you know. But she didn't say, how's it going to happen? She just went, well, I never been with a guy, you know, what's going to happen here? And he says, well, but she surrendered, she submitted herself to the will of God, and so you know the story. So she gets pregnant, and then later on, she visits her cousin, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is quite pregnant at this time. And as soon as they come in, you know, and starts talking, John the Baptist, who is still in the womb, he leaps, right? Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the baby jumps, we'll get into some of that. But when John was born, you know, they were going to name him Zacharias or something else, and Zacharias, you know, he's like, no way, and he writes down his name is John. And then as soon as he did that, when he spoke the truth, and his vocal cords could work again, and he began to prophesy. So that's where we're picking this up. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. You know, one thing I always, when we do our Wednesday night Bible study, I always try to tell people is pay attention to the verb tenses. When you read the Bible, pay attention to the verb tenses. They're so important. Okay? Notice these are past tense. He already did it. He already knew what he was going to do. He already spoke it out. He already purposed it. He's visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, he's not talking about John here. He's talking about Jesus. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Okay, really important part of the scripture here, because everything, like I said, in the beginning was the Word. The whole thing came about because God said something, right? There's steel, there's chair, there's plastic, there's wood, there's whatever it is in the world, any element, anything that's part of the creation, it's because something came out of his mouth and said, let it be. And it was. But he also had something to tell the human population, right? The world is, hey, I'm going to do something. I'm going to have a son. He's going to be so cool, right? And that's what he's saying here. Look, I got this idea. I'm going to have a son. Oh, man, my son is the best. You're going to love him. He's the best guy in the whole universe. And that's what he did. So all down through history, God's been telling us what he was going to do. And then he did it. Anyway, next slide, please. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised. There's a good word there. He promised something. Does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. To our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. We're going to talk about the covenant here in a minute. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's quite a promise. And I realized as I was going through this, and I know this is really simple, but just bear with me, okay? When you're free from fear, right? Fear does something to you. We call it anxiety, right? I don't know if anybody takes antidepressants. I hope not. Or anxiety pills, you know. For a long time, there was anxiety pills everywhere. But what makes the result of not having anxiety just bear with me, is there's two things, really. One of them is peace. I'm not fretting. I'm not worried. I'm not stressing, right? I have peace. And the result of that is, hey, I can have joy. Because I'm not down. You know, I hate it when people, you know, you watch the news and you listen to people talk and all they do is they're spreading fear about this, fear about that, and your peace just goes right out the window, right? You're feeling pretty good about life and then you watch the news? Yeah. Yeah, it's like, dang, this place sucks, you know? And it's like, why watch that stuff? Because it robs you of your peace. And when your peace is gone, your joy goes with it. Right. Correct? Mm-hmm. So, you know, turn it off if you have to. But that's what the promise was here that we would be able to live without fear. And so we'd have peace. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this covenant a little more here in a minute. But why would you make, you know, the Bible is full of covenants, right? There was a covenant with Adam, really. There was a covenant with Noah. There was a covenant with Abraham. There was a covenant with Israel. They call it the Mosaic covenant. But at a very fundamental level, why do you make a covenant in the first place? Yeah, okay. Anybody? Okay. It's to settle any issue. It's to bring peace, right? When you live in a covenant relationship, that's what marriage is all about. You make certain promises. I will only be to you. You'll only be for me. Right? There's peace in that. Or whatever, if it's a contract. Or, you know, like Abraham and God made a covenant. Abraham could rest. That word rest is the same idea of peace, that I don't have to fret. I'm not going to worry. God made a covenant. God can't lie. And that's what he's talking about here. God, and it's all from his side of the equation. He initiated all of this. We had nothing to do with Jesus being born into this world. Not one of us. Not back then, not any time. Other than inadvertently, he came through the line of David, right? They had something to do with it in a tangential way. But ultimately, it was all God's idea, and it was all God's promises, and it was all God's doing that. I'm going to have a son, and I'm going to give him to you guys, because you need him. Thank you. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, I preached this. We talked about thankfulness. We were talking about Thanksgiving. That brings joy, too, by the way. When you're really thankful, they kind of work together. When you're thankful, you have joy. When you have joy, you're thankful. But a covenant is given to bring peace. Both parties enter into an agreement. And from that time on, and you know, most covenants, if you look in the Old Testament and how they work, they were multi-generational. Like David and Jonathan, they were best friends. And they made a covenant, you know, if something happens to me, I'll take care of your kids. Something happens to me, I'll take care of your kids, all that. And David did that. Jonathan got killed, if you know the story, in battle, and years later, he took Mephibosheth, who was lame and had some issues, but David said, where is that kid? And he sat at the king's table for the rest of his life. He was treated just like one of the king's kids because he had a covenant. It was multi-generational. Well, that's how God thinks. When God makes a covenant, it's forever. Mm-hmm. So when you read the Bible and you read about covenants, think that way. All right, we don't think that way. We in America, we, you know, you sign a contract and a week later, or a treaty, right? We were really bad about breaking treaties and breaking covenants, and we don't keep contracts. And, you know, you just get a good enough lawyer and you can weasel out of it, right? And that's not how God thinks at all. That's not how Middle Easterners, those kind of people of the Bible, they don't think like that. You make a covenant, man, it's forever. So that's why you want to make, that's why the Bible says don't make an oath you can't keep. It's don't do that, because you might not be able to follow through, you know. And then it would be a problem. So next slide, please. So I just want you to think about that covenant, because we're going to keep going. And the angel said to them, fear not. There's that word again, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't stress. For behold, this is in Luke 2, but behold, I bring you good tidings. Don read this verse already. Good tidings of great joy. And in some versions, that'll say good news, right? I'm bringing you the gospel. That's really what the word gospel, if you look it up, it's the same word. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, not just joy, but great joy, which shall be to how many people?
All people.
All people. That means us too, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Okay, next slide, please. Now, a lot of the stuff that was going on in Luke is echoed from Isaiah. We're going to look at the scripture here. This is in Isaiah 42. There were so many, I had to kind of whittle it down. But he said, "Behold my servant." This is a prophetic word about Jesus. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Again, pay attention to the verb tenses. He's speaking in past tense. If you really, when you really read Isaiah, it's really fascinating. Isaiah 53, all these things, they're always in past tense. Even though Isaiah is 750 years before Jesus, he's speaking in past tense. Why? Because God, in his mind, already did it. I already promised it. It's already a reality, as far as he's concerned. So they could believe the same promise that we have. That's what he was doing. He was giving them faith too. Look, there's a guy coming. But he's already saved you. He's already delivered you. He's already going to do. I know what he's going to do. He's my elect. My spirit's going to be on. He's going to do exactly what I want him to do. And Isaiah could go, "Wow, thank you." And all the people that Isaiah preached to could go, "Thank you." They had something to look forward to. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He's gentle. He doesn't beat people up. He's not harsh. He's not, you know. That's why the poor people, the lowlifes of their society, they gravitated toward Jesus because of this scripture right here. He didn't put them down. He didn't hurt them. He lifted them up. All the high and mighty people, all the religious people, all the ones that thought they were better than everybody else, he's kind of like, "Yeah." They didn't like him because he didn't defer to them. He didn't acknowledge their piety and their social standing, you know. He didn't care. Had nothing to do. They're sinners too. They just didn't know it. That was the problem, right? He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fall nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The isles are the Gentile nations. And then keep going on the next slide. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. That's quite a scripture, right? I mean, if you really put yourself, that's you he's talking about, you know.
Right.
I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I love that. But he said, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people. So what's your covenant with God? Is it what you promise him? Or is it a person? It's a person. That's why making vows or trying to be good and all that stuff doesn't work. God's not interested in that. He already gave you the word. He already told us what he wants. Here's all my promises. You want him? That's your covenant. When you accept Christ, you're entered into that covenant. That started on Christmas. Actually, it started way before that, like you were saying last week. Started way back before any of this ever existed. But God, down through the ages, kept making a promise after promise after promise after promise until one day the promise became a person. And so every day's Christmas with Jesus. next slide, please. Where am I here? For unto us, Don read this one too. Thanks, Don. great minds think alike. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So all these things you read about in the New Testament, they all came from here, right? He's not making up, he's not inventing a new story. It's just fulfilling what's already written. a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. And the zeal of the Lord's going to do this, right? God's not going to stop. He's going to make sure it happens. I love that verse. And then another one from Isaiah, next slide. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Okay? I love the imagery here, because what he's saying is that everybody, you ever, you know, been out somewhere in the woods and it's really dark and it's not very fun? You don't do a lot of hiking around when it's pitch black. You know, you're just sort of huddled up there trying to stay warm, and, oh man, I wish it sunlight. And as soon as the sunlight comes up, it's like, oh, I can see what's going on, right? It's scary. If you're a little kid, you're out in the dark, it's scary. But he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord." He's talking about Christmas. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." That was fulfilled. If you read the account in Matthew, you know, in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about Mary having Jesus, and they went in the manger and all that. And then chapter 2, it says there were wise men from the east that were some kind of kings. They were some kind of high, but they came and they brought gifts and they worshiped Jesus. Now, that actually didn't happen at Christmas time, just so you know. That actually happened sometime later. We won't go into that today. A lot of times they make the little manger scenes where here's the wise men. No, that didn't happen. Jesus was already, they were living in a house when that happened and all that. But anyway, but those scriptures were all fulfilled when those guys showed up. Isaiah told you about it way long time ago. Next slide, please. And then this is from Isaiah 32. And if we're not going to turn there right now. I'm going to wind it up. But in Isaiah 32, in the first part, it says, "And a man shall be for a hiding place from the storm." It's another prophecy about Jesus, a person, a man. Somebody is going to be for a hiding place. You can hide in him. And everything else is not going to bother you. And isn't that sometimes what it feels like? When you're going through a trial, you're going through some hard place. I just want to hide in Jesus. And, you know, that's why he's there. That's a scriptural thing to do. I'm just going to hide in Jesus. You know, the devil harasses you. Just go hide in Jesus. Talk to my big brother. I don't want to talk to you anyway. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Okay. And if you go back to the first slide, you know that was the promise of Jesus coming, was there would be quietness, there would be rest, there would be peace, that we could serve him without fear all the days of our life. That's still true. You know, when God said peace, the angel said peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that never got rescinded. God never took that back, ever. His will toward men is still good. So if you feel sometimes like it's not so good, or maybe things aren't working out, don't believe the lie that, oh, God hates you, or God's mad at you, or that's not true. His word endures forever. Peace, goodwill toward men. No bad will, just goodwill. And sometimes we need to hear that. And then I plugged in there in the beginning was the word. The word was made flesh. Next slide, please. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth, I'm backing up now to the story of Mary and Elizabeth. She heard the salutation of Mary. The babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out loud with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women." You know, and it's really interesting. You know, they don't know all this stuff, right? All these things are happening in different places. But when she shows up, the Holy Spirit's going, "Hey, that's you." Anyway, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she knew that her little baby or little pooch there was Jesus. Isn't that cool? The mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Right? And so that's why that candle's burning. Because there's great joy in the world. If you really realize, you know, think it all through and realize, whoa, God, you were doing this for a long, long time. You really knew what you were doing when you set this together, right? So what's Christmas all about? Yeah, God did what he said. He's still doing what he said. He never stops doing what he says, ever. He'll do what he says for eternity. The word of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. Yeah, that's something to be joyful about. And all the hubbub we go through at Christmas time and, you know, buying gifts and shopping and doing all that crazy stuff, you know, that's okay. It's a good thing. Shop away. Buy me something. I'm kidding. But it's about... It'd probably be a Dodger hat or something. Yeah. Or a Santa suit, yeah, there you go. Anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah, so, you know, we're going to invite anybody up who wants to come and pray and do prayer circles for a minute here. And I want to encourage you, if anybody needs a dose of joy, come on up. Because, you know, sometimes we need joy. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get, you know, this world, it doesn't ever lighten up, right? That's the part he's talking about. The world sits in darkness. And we expect sometimes the world to you know, get it, but they don't. I didn't get it, you know, until I met Jesus. I didn't get anything. I was ignorant. I was living in darkness. But when I found Jesus, it was like all of a sudden the sun came up. Went, oh, hey, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And Isaiah 60 got fulfilled in my life. Amen.